Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Estacio's conference call to discuss the second quarter of 2017 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the Internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.estacioparticipesos.com, the MZIQ platform, www.mziq.com, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will be able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need any assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Pedro Thompson, CEO and Investor Relations Officer. Please, Mr. Thompson, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our conference call to discuss the results for the second quarter of 2017. Leonardo Moreto, our CFO, and Flavio Oliveira, head of our IR team, are with me. Just to remind you all that there will be a question and answer session as soon as the presentation is over. Let us begin on slide two. As you all know, we had important challenges over the last year. It was a period of great change and transformation in the company. However, we kept three major commitments in mind at all times. First, I should point out that our main goals were to maintain operational performance and climate at a time of transition. We had a deal that was being analyzed by the Brazilian antitrust authority, and we were committed to meeting the wishes of our shareholders and closing the deal without affecting the company's performance during this period. We thus worked together with Croton to prepare an integration process. I can assure you that we have devoted our team's time and best efforts to ensure that this process was as smooth as possible, always in compliance with the antitrust legislation. And last but not least, we were also committed to being transparent to our shareholders with strict governance and implementation of a compliance culture. Although the CAD did not approve the deal, I can say that our care and concern to improve the company's performance while the antitrust agent was analyzing our request has produced significant results. Over the last few quarters, especially this quarter, our results proved that Stas is able to improve its performance. Moving on to slide three, we can see the results highlights for the second quarter of 2017. Our net revenue moved by 9.3% or 78.1 million over the same period in 2016, totaling 913.4 million, while EBITDA came to 254 million and the EBITDA margin stood at 27.8%, an increase of 210.4 million and 22.6 percentage points, respectively, of the second quarter of the last year. However, for comparison purposes, it's necessary to exclude the effects of one-off entries totaling 105.7 million recorded in the second quarter of 2016. The 6.6 million related to the fee of 2% of net revenue from FIES contracts, and of the third quarter of 2016, annual recurring M&A expenses of 0.7 million, giving a comparable EBITDA of 261.3 million and a comparable EBITDA margin of 28.6%, an upturn of 74.9% and 10.7 percentage points, respectively, of the same period of 2016. This performance was a consequence of our initiatives to increase operational efficiency, improving the management of the company's costs and expenses. I believe we have been able to show that it is possible to increase profitability and in a challenging scenario. It's still impacted by the lower volume of US contracts while making changes to important processes such as student intake and pricing, whose results we'll discuss in further detail now. I now give the floor to our head of IR, Flavia Oliveira.
Thank you, Pedro. Good morning, everyone. I will begin by talking about our operational performance on slide number 4. In the graph on the left, we can see that our student base grew by 0.9% year over year, totally 539,000 students, mostly due to the 10.3% increase in the distance learning student base, thanks to the initiatives including the performance-based clusterization of the partner centers in order to better align incentives and results. The distance learning growth offset the 3% decline in their on-campus student base. The base decrease reflected the reduction in the first quarter intake cycle due to the change in the strategy to attract new students designed to create a more solid student base, which complies with their payment obligations. It is worth noting that the on-campus student retention rate improved by 7 percentage points to 93.6% at the end of the period, one of the first times of the college of our student base. We would also like to draw your attention to the fact that the decrease in the number of on-campus students this semester was much lower than the decline in the FIES student base, which fell by 15.6% compared with the second quarter of 2016. Net revenue growth and the adoption of the installment payment program for a more solid student base showcase Estácio's strategies and differential advances to maintain its sustainable growth. Moving on to slide 5, I will now talk about our average ticket, which reflected the pricing strategy we began adopting this semester in order to ensure a sustainable student base that combines compliance with payment obligations with lower dropout rates. The on-campus average ticket moved up 11.7% to 751.6 reais, while the on-campus undergrad average ticket climbed 10.9% to 784.6 reais, thanks to the new pricing strategy adopted by staff in the first quarter intake cycle and the 7,000 for students, who also positively impacted the average ticket, as there are no discounts or scholarships under this program. The on-campus graduate average ticket increased by 6.7% over second quarter 2016, due to the decrease of approximately 40% in the deduction line, generating a gain of 9.1 percentage points in relation to gross revenue. In the second quarter of 2017, the distance learning average ticket moved up by 27.8% over the same period last year to 239 reais, with an increase of 23.3% to 247.9 reais in the undergraduate segment, and an upturn of 80% to R$175.4 in the graduate segment compared with last year. I will now turn the floor over to our CFO, Leonardo Moretti, who will talk about our financial performance.
Thank you, Flavia. Good morning, everyone. Moving to slide 6, I will begin with our net revenue in Q2 2017. As you can see, second quarter net revenue came to R$913.4 million, 9.3% up compared to Q2 2016, essentially due to the 219.7 million increase in revenue from Mexican tuition, 18.3% up on Q2 16, due to the higher average ticket and more sustainable student base. The R$3.5 million decrease in Pronatec revenue was reported in the last few quarters due to the graduation of the last students in this segment. The R$4.6 million reduction on the other revenue due to the end of the year 2016 project under which we provide training to the volunteers of Olympic Games. The R$9.9 million increase in scholarships and discounts due to the change in the company's price strategy for new students. The R$8.1 million upturn in taxes in line with revenue growth. The 2% retention of the net revenue from US contracts pushed on to executive degree 741 as of the second semester of 2016, which had an impact of around 6.6 million this quarter. It is also worth noting that close to R$9 million was recorded on the gross revenue deduction in the second quarter of 2017 due to the adjustment to the present value of PAR receivables. Moving to slide 7, I will talk a little bit about our operation cost. Our cash cost represented 38.1% of net operating revenue in the second quarter versus 56.8% in the same quarter last year, representing a 8.7 percentage point margin gain, which was concentrated in the personal line, underlying the results of Stasi's restructuring of faculty cost management. Some of the initiatives implemented at the beginning of the year include the offer of 20% on-campus online content and the increase in the number of students in distance learning classes, all of which were a part of the process of restructuring the management of Stasi's faculty costs. In addition to the decrease in personnel costs this quarter, the textbook materials line also played a role in the 8.7 percentage point gain when comparing the total cash cost to revenue ratio over the second quarter of last year. We intensified our production of books and offered virtual libraries to students. The result of these efficiency efforts, mainly in the distance learning segment, combined with revenue growth this quarter, led to a 30.5% year-over-year increase in the company's gross profit to R$445 million. Excluding the peer depreciation and amortization, the gross margin climbed 8.7 percentage points from 33.2% in Q2 16 to 51.9%. On slide 8, we present our operating expenses. In the second quarter of this year, selling expenses represented 12.7% of net operating revenue, with a 9.4 percentage point margin gain, impacted by one-off entries in the second quarter of 2016. Excluding the effect of these entries, the selling expense margin gain came to 4.3 percentage points, even including the impact of FAR. The allowance for doubtful accounts lines was adversely affected in Q2 last year, as the staff conservatively provisioned 33 million reais to comply with obligations related to PF. However, after an in-depth analysis with our internal and external legal advisors, we have concluded that we have not breached the rules on academic performance and reversed entirely the accrued amount in the last quarter of 2016, generating a new net effect in the full year. I wanted to mention this adjustment in order to allow a fair comparison between Q2 2016 and Q2 17. As we excluded the 43 million reais recorded in the same period last year, as we see a 1.7 percentage point gain, margin gain in the allowance for doubtful accounts line. Due to a stricter collection process and student retention efforts, which offset the negative 0.4 percentage point impact when we began accruing provisions for the PAR. The 3 percentage point gains in the advertising expense margin in the same period was also impacted by the non-recurring effect at the end of contract and institutional campaign, which led to a one-off 15.5 million increase in advertising expenses in the second quarter of 2016. Excluding these effects, we had a 1.1 percentage point margin gain compared to the second quarter of year. I would like to remind you that since the beginning of this year, the campaigns have been focusing more on regional, cluster-driven strategies and less on the institution itself, using more efficient, lower-cost channels. Second quarter general and administrative expenses represented 11.3% of the net operating revenue, a 3.2 percentage point margin gain over the same period last year, impacted by one-off entries in Q2 2016. The company booked a non-recurring contingency item totaling 28 million reais in Q2 2016. Due to the revision of the company's date, taking into account the market nature of the assumptions. Excluding the effect of these entries, the general and the administrative expenses margin would have remained flat. Jumping to slide 9, we can see the net income totaled 166.3 million this quarter, resulting in a 20.5 year-on-year percentage point increase in the company's net margin, mainly due to the 210.4 million upturn in EBITDA in the period. On slide 10 shows the status average receivables period. I can assure you we remain focused on improving our collection and student debt renegotiation campaign. It's worth noting that 5.3 million reais year-on-year reduction in the monthly tuition fees line is account receivables. As a result, ex-year's average receivable days improved by 9 days from 83 days in Q2 16 to 7.4 days this quarter.
On July 11th, the first table, we can see the information on our capitalization cost in cash. Cash and cash equivalents totaled $572.3 million on June 30th, 2017. Conservatively invest in six income instruments available to the CDI interbank rates, government bonds, and certificates of deposit with top-tier Brazilian banks. Our bank debt close to 1 billion reais corresponded mainly to our debenture issues, the loans from IFC, the issue of promissory notes, and the capitalization of equipment leasing expenses in compliance with law 11,638. The 237.7 million reais increase in the loans and fines line over June 2016 refers mainly to the issue of 300 million reais in promissory notes in November 2016 and over 100 million reais in debentures, the first issue in December last year. The objective of these operations was to recover the cash spent on the settlement of the first debenture issue, totaling close to 213.1 million reais, and the payment of extraordinary dividends in November and December 2016, amounting to 420 million reais. Including the commitment for future payments related to the past positions, totaling 109.5 million reais, and taxes payable installments amounting to 14.6 million, the taxes gross debt came to 1.16 billion reais at the end of Q2 17, resulting in net debt of 615.5 million reais. Also, this is that we show our second quarter CAPEX. We invested 21.5 million, 10.7% less than the same period last year, mainly because we did not make any acquisitions in the last 12 months that required integration CAPEX. Jumping to slide 12, we present our cash flow. Operating cash flow was positive by 172.1 million reais in Q2 17, an improvement of 23.9 million over the same period last year. Let me remind you that we expect to receive the amount we make the second installment of 2015 receivables accrued due to PM 23 at the beginning of next month of August. So today I would like to turn the floor back to our CEO Pedro Thompson for this for his closing remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Edson. Now we will move on to the last part of our presentation on slide 13, where I want to show how much efficiency we were able to obtain during one of the most important transformations in Estácio history. Comparing the results for the 12-month period between the second half of 2015 and the first half of 2016, and between the second half of 2016 and the first half of 2017, we can see efficiency gain of over 217.7 million. These results was obtained thanks to the initiatives implemented over the last year, including measures to attract a more sustainable base, student base, and maximize the present value per student through a healthier average ticket and longer student retention. In addition to increasing our top line, leading to better cost dilution, we also improved our cost structure, especially in regard to personal, advertising, and general and administrative expenses. We also began revising the company's collection policies and have already observed an improvement in the EBITDA to cash conversion ratio, and as well as a gradual reduction in the average receivables days, as our CFO mentioned earlier. we recorded an 8 percentage point margin gain. It is worth noting that there was no room for major strategic moves in 2017. We remained focused on execution, which led to a gradual and consistent improvement in the results of the last few quarters. In the coming quarters, we plan to implement over 100 initiatives in order to continue obtaining efficiency gains. These initiatives have already been mapped and we have begun implementing them this semester. In addition to these short-term initiatives, which are practically low-hanging fruit, we are developing a new long-term strategic plan, and I intend to present news on this front before the end of this year at our Investor Day, which should take place in mid-November. As soon as we set the date, we will widely publicize this event. We want to share our vision for the future of Estácio, and we'll do it as soon as possible. On July 14th, I would like to finish this presentation by talking about our growth drivers. The first is the launch of new distance learning centers. We currently have 3 institutions accredited to provide distance learning education. Universidade Estácio de Sá, with a 3CI, Centro Universitário Estácio de Ribeirão Preto, with a 3CI, and Centro Universitário Estácio de Santa Catarina, with a 4CI. Given these grades, the new regulation all of us will launch 250 new distance learning centers. With the authorization for these new centers, we will launch 76 new centers in the third quarter intake process and already have 55 prospective partners and in all process of formalizing the partnership and organizing the necessary infrastructure. As a result, at least 131 new centers will be added to staff to current network of 238 centers during the second half of 2017 and will be able to operate in the first intake cycle of 2018. Another growth driver is the launch of 4 new medicine campuses through the Mais Médicos program at the beginning of 2018. Thanks to this program, we are authorized to offer another 225 medicine places per year at the new Angra dos Reis, Jaraguá do Sul, Alagoinhas, and Juazeiro units. Please bear in mind that Stats already operates medicine courses in 4 campuses, totaling 3,000 students. We also worth noting our expertise in the health area with 17 courses and over 100,000 students in this field. Another important growth driver was inorganic growth through M&A opportunities. We have a robust cash position, certainly a more efficient operational structure, so we are analyzing opportunities for consolidation of the education sector. Our board of directors authorized the prospecting of financial advisors to assist in the identification of potential assets for acquisition. Our organic growth pipeline is another growth driver that we have been working on more intensively. We have 10 applications for new campuses already approved by the Ministry of Education, which will be launched in a phased manner over the next 24 months. To wrap up, I would like to say we have begun a new phase of our history, but we are doing this supported by solid results achieved during an extremely challenging year in which we were fully focused on execution. We currently have a more efficient management structure and continue improving our academic quality indicators. I believe we have found fundamentals to continue our growth trajectory, creating value for our stakeholders now with a long-term strategic and sustainable vision. We can move on to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing *2. Once again, it is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. And your first question will come from Marcelo Santos of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the question. There are actually two. The first, I just wanted to understand a little bit better the gains on the distance learning. You say you put more students per class. I just want to understand the class concept that you use on the fully online course. I mean, I would imagine if you're putting like more students per tutor or something like this, does this mean that the tutors were being underutilized before? Just want to understand a little bit better the logic of gains in this line. And the second question is regarding FIES. So you still have roughly one-third of your revenues coming from FIES, and FIES has a higher ticket, at least looks like a higher ticket on average than your average ticket. What do you think should be the impact on the margins in the next year, since a lot of FIES students are going to graduate by the end of this year? Do you expect a negative impact on your margins due to that? These are the two questions.
Thank you, Marcelo. The first question regarding the distance learning efficiency. We changed our education methodology with a correlation about students per tutors, with more students per tutor, tutors learning compared to the last year.
Yeah, Marcelo, this is Flavia speaking. In fact, now we have some systems helping our tutors, so we are able to answer the doubts of our students to have a better relation with our students in less time than we had in the past. So we maintain the quality of answers to our students with less tutors because we are better equipped in terms of systems.
The second question regarding FIES. We are not allowed to pass guidance, okay, but it's a fact to the whole sector that the change of average ticket regarding lower FIES penetration will be a concern to all players of the sector, for sure.
Okay, thank you.
And since there seem to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Pedro Thompson for his final remarks.
I would like to thank you all for participating in our results conference call. Our Investor Relations Department is always at your disposal to help you with any questions you may have. Our contact information is available on our website. We hope to see you again at our conference call next quarter. Once again, thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you. This concludes Estacio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.